My name is Charlie Mars, M-A-R-S. I worked out at Kennedy Space Center for about 33 years on all the manned spacecraft programs. What we have here is the U.S. Space Walk of Fame Foundation. We preserve space history, and we do that by putting monuments in the park, which is right across the street, right up here. We've completed Mercury, Gemini, Apollo. We're working Shuttle. We just did Shuttle last year in July, dedicated. Had Al Warden, one of the shuttle astronauts, Jerry Carr, one of the Skylab guys, there for the dedication. We also do that by running this Free Space Museum. We have people who used to work out there, both NASA and contractors, and people who have retired will bring stuff in. And we seldom ask them where they got it. We just accept it graciously and display it. Every now and then somebody wants some back. But mostly everything here has been donated. Sometimes we picked up NASA surplus, some of the things you'll see in the museum. But that's what our passion is. We were there during Apollo. We thought that was the only place to be, the only time to be. And we seldom came home. At least we came home, but we weren't home. We were still in our heads out there working a problem, waiting for the next day. Didn't want to come home at night, except for the gentleman behind me. He did want to come home. We made life miserable for some people. But the gift shop, whatever comes out of here, is toward the operation of the foundation itself. And we also, if we have like a major input for launches, we take a part of that and put it toward the next monument, which is Shuttle. We do events throughout the year, and mainly all of those events are for the project we happen to be working. And we do have right now about $50,000 set aside just for the Shuttle Monument. But it's going to take about $500,000 to do it. And probably 3 years, because things are slow. It's going to get worse when we quit launching next year. And the present workforce is hard to get involved. Now, for Apollo, it was a lot easier to get those guys. And I think probably it was because it was a different time. People felt more ownership of what they were doing. They didn't feel like everybody was watching over their shoulder, and you had to go to management, who had to go to their management, who had to go to their management to get things done. So I think that's one of the reasons. But let me run you through the museum itself, show you what we've got. Right now you'll see all of the present 133 shirts and stuff. And a lot of it is like Discovery Last Flight. Some of the rest of it is just Discovery 133. This is Mercury and Gemini memorabilia. And over behind you there, you see a yellow hard hat says J. Glenn. That was John Glenn's hard hat during Mercury. And right next to it, we just happen to have a picture of him holding it. A fellow walked in about 5 years ago with that under his arm and says, "Had this in my garage for about 20 years. Would you guys like to have it?" But obviously, we never turned down anything. We have some other stuff over here. Up behind you is the hatch of a Mercury spacecraft. That was the first Mercury Atlas. Now that's a picture of it lifting off right down below here. Good lift off, but right after it got above the clouds, it blew. Unfortunately, no one was in it. McDonnell, who built that spacecraft, put all the spacecraft back together. Two pictures, the big one and this one. The hatch just sort of disappeared. One of the McDonald guys was an acetylene torch artist, and he's always looking in some of the places for metal to put in his artwork. And he actually stumbled over this. It was half covered in dirt, and he recognized it and had it in his garage for 20 years. And he made the mistake of letting me know he had it, and every time I'd see him, I'd say, "Hey, don't you think you ought to let us show that?" And one day he says, "If you'll just quit doing that," he says, "I'll let you have it." So he brought it up here. Down here, if you notice the glove, that is a training glove for Mercury and Gemini. And due to the shortage in power, there's little red lights in each one of those fingertips. And there's a switch on the knuckle. And there was switches above their heads. So when they would get ready to reach up and throw a switch, they'd turn that on. Light it up a little bit so they could make sure what they were doing, turn it off, save power. So it was one of the, did a lot of simple but ingenious things back then. We do things a lot more complicated. this hardware up here, and especially the little rocket down there, are flown. They were flown in space. They ended up being in somebody's garage after the missions were over and things were taken apart. But that was actually used as part of the separation rockets back in those days. Over here, this is one of the items that a lady brought us, and we never asked her how she got it. This was Gus Grissom's suit when he came back from Gemini 3, and he got on the carrier, and they changed into something fresh, and that was it. Lots of pictures of different folks that were in that program. Now, John Young wasn't in Mercury, but he was in Gemini. And here, a quick synopsis of Gemini, you know, who was on each mission, what the mission was, how long it was, and the Gemini spacecraft. Two windows, commander and pilot basically could look out, and the only thing that came back was what is black. This was the retro rocket area and the adapter to the launch vehicle, and before you came in, this would go away. And there was four little retro rockets back there. You turn around, fire them, face of your travel, slow you down just enough that gravity picks you up and brings you in.
So roughly how big is the piece that came back to Earth?
About, if you sat in a chair, and somebody sat in a chair by you, this area here is inside the cabin. So that would be this area here. That piece is about that high. So what came back was
about
only about
8 foot
high.
8 foot high?
Maybe this, yeah, about eight. About this big around at the top, and then flared.
By about, what, 3 foot? I'm just thinking that people won't be able to, people can't see you holding your arms out, and I want them to get a good idea of the size of it.
About 3 feet there. And then it flared down to maybe 10 feet at the bottom. Small. Very cramped. Claustrophobic people couldn't even get in it. Behind you over here is two headrests out of a simulator. Used a lot of simulators back in those days to train people. The back of one of them says Shira McDonald, part number, and the other is Young, part number, McDonald. So those are actually, there's DNA on there from John Young and Wally Schirra. If you ever wanted to build another one, you know, take them and get that off of there, and you'd have your two new astronauts. Those were found in a garage sale here in Titusville. And the guy that found them, you know, happened to work for one of those companies, knew what they were, and brought them to us. So that's how we ended up with a lot of this stuff. This is some of the documents that were used during Mercury and Gemini. This document here with a rocket on it is a set of miniature schematics called Logics that was used for Mercury and Gemini. That was mine. And I would go home in the afternoon, we'd take it with us. Get a call at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We've got a problem. Turn to your system and start troubleshooting. We didn't have these, but we had telephones. Would you believe back in those days we had telephones? We could actually talk to each other. We could even have conferences, you know. We could get, you know, 100 people around the country on a conference if we had to. But difficult. Not near as easy as it is today. What he's looking at there, that is the recordings of EKG breathing of Shira and Stafford on Gemini 6. That was GT6, Gemini Titan 6. That was an abort. Right about the time you see all of the wiggles going on, that was when they said they had to abort. The guy who was the NASA biomed engineer was sitting next to the doctor, looked at that and says, "They are scared to death." He says, "That is not fear, that is anger." He says, "They are so pissed about having an abort and they're ready to go." And then Tom Stafford lives about 20 miles south of here. And he was here about 3 weeks ago. We had him sign that for us. And unfortunately, we never got Shira. But that's the actual recordings back on Gemini 6. Let's go to Apollo. And here we've got some really neat stuff. These x-rays are x-rays. This happens to be the ones of the boots that actually walked on the moon. A part of the process, the suit, the ensemble, the gloves, and the boots were all x-rayed, and mainly looking for foreign objects. One of the final products here, a lady seamstress would take a needle and pin, and of course you break. Now, what if Armstrong had had a broken needle here, and when he stepped on him and he said, "Damn it to hell, what was that?" Man's first words on the moon, "Damn it to hell, what was that?" So fortunately, that didn't happen. This is actually a training boot. This is exactly like the ones that they used, but if that were a real boot, it certainly wouldn't be sitting here. It would be under glass, and it would be protected, and of course, it would have some moon dust on it. But you'll probably never find stuff like that because they tried to throw out as much stuff as they could. You know, we're about to leave. Let's get our weight down, throw all that stuff out. So they'd get rid of everything they possibly could, but they saved a lot. One of the guys actually had a screwdriver and something that he could take off the hand controller on the lunar module and bring home with him. And he still got it to this day. Never have tried to sell it. Let's see. In here we've got... what was the other thing? Oh, this is a complete set of Skylab 2 crew, which was Jerry Carr, Bill Pogue, and Ed Gibson. These are the coveralls they wore during the mission. And we're very fortunate we got Jerry to sign this one for us. And complete set. Pure luck. Something we just happened to find. Some of the... here's another one here. This is another one of the little storyboards that tells you each of the Apollos, who was on it. Of course, there was several that were in Earth orbit, and then Apollo 13, which was the most famous mission of all, even taking into account landing on the moon. I think more people followed Apollo 13 than they did the lunar mission, because it went on and on and on. And people said, they're going to die, they're not going to die, we're going to get them back. We do have quite a few of the astronaut pictures that are signed, that people have, you know, signed and sent them to us over the years. This is an early model of a lunar module, very heavy. You'll notice a lot of glass so you can see a lot of places, a lot of legs, make sure you land right. But it ended up, as you can remember, look down in the lower case, and you have the silver and gold. And just a very small window on each side, only four legs, and as light as you could be. Up here we have training suits for Apollo. These are training backpacks, so there's nothing in there but just foam just to fill them out. People bring in, like this module here, this is the command module. And you can see pretty well the controls and displays. And what you don't see is the area underneath. And when you're in zero gravity, you know, you can just go all kinds of places. Your space just about triples. Here is a couple of lens covers that got too close to one of the launches. And it just vaporized and crystallized the outside of the stuff itself. Next room. Shuttle, a little bit of Space Station Freedom. That's some of the early concepts for shuttle, the long range and the short range flybacks. That was both an initial vehicle flyback plus the one you send in space. Probably should have gone that way. But over there, the wooden model is one of Rockwell's early. The far one over there was called Shuttle C. And that was the one that the only thing you got back was the SRBs, because it was turned into strictly just a cargo pod. Big waste of money. Never should have even thought about that. This is one of our best models. Shuttle on the pad. Thick service structure. This is a rotating service structure. The payload is processed in parallel with the shuttle so that you're not, you know, always one right behind her like a stack of dominoes. And the payload is put in its canister, it's turned vertical, it's brought out underneath, it is raised up into this white room area. The whole thing comes over, snuggles up to the orbiter, puts the payload in here, close her up, get out of the way, wait for launch. And that's what you see. Good model of the crawler transporter. These are controllers that's in one of the cabs. There's a cab up here, and there's a cab here, so you never have to back up. You always roll forward about 2 miles an hour. These hand controllers were used for all the lunar missions. So when you touch those, the technician that drove this thing out to the pad for all the Saturn V's get his DNA on you. When we went to Apollo, that's not the sound that makes when you do that. Hello? Yes, I do.
Well, I didn't call there. Okay, back to it.
But these controllers were saved when they upgraded this to shuttle, and they gave this to one of the engineers, and they made a nice little thing that he could play on his desk with. And when he died, his wife has loaned this to us. So this is one of our better that goes with this. And like we say, please touch. A lot of things we want people to touch. Over here, there's a vacuum cleaner that flew on one of the orbiters, a water system that flew on an orbiter. Up there is a fuel probe, and that goes into the OMS pods. This is the OMS pods. And as a matter of fact, one of the delays on 133 was a leak right back here. So that probe went in one of these tanks just to tell how much fuel was in there. We had, and that was off of Columbia. We had a lot of problems with Columbia. It stayed at KSC for well over a year, and that was one of the things we removed. He was another guy, found out he had it, and I'd say, when are you going to loan us that? So after a couple of years, he finally took it off his desk and loaned it to us.
Well, what's the story of this hat over here? It's got all the mission pins on it.
There was an inspector that, as a matter of fact, works for Florida Today right now, and he had all those pins on there, and he donated that hat to us because every time there was a launch, he'd put a pin on there. And it goes all the way back to the early programs. So it's, you know, it's almost an antique, another couple of years. Over here, the orbiter has a parachute that comes out when it lands. And this is the door that it comes out, and this is some of the insulation right back in the back here. Now the brown structure there is the housing just inside. The parachute on top is from a solid rocket booster. That's a drogue chute out of the solids. Handprints, we did astronaut handprints for Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo. Put them in bronze, and they're part of the monuments. We did three for Armstrong, one for Gemini, one for Apollo, and one for permanent museum display. So this is actually his handprints. And there he is right there. Not much bigger than that handsome guy next to him. The other handprints are shuttle samples. Sally Ride. First American.
She had small hands.
Little bitty gal. She was probably not quite as tall as you. She's maybe half a head shorter. But we got the handprints of the ladies that did the first. We got Kathleen Sullivan. She was the first American lady to do an extravehicular activity. We got, obviously, Eileen Collins, and Eileen, first American lady commander. A few more. We got Mark Garneau from Canada. He was the Canadian CSA, Canadian Space Agency head for a while. I think he's off doing politics now. Bob Crippen, who was with John Young, and we already had John Young. So we've got, you know, a few more laying around under there, but we're not going to get any more. Over here, we've got a small memorial to those astronauts who died. Challenger, Apollo 1, Columbia. Down the hallway, we go into the expendable launch vehicle activity. This was from Pad 36. They launched Atlas Centaurus for about 42 years. And about 4 years ago, they quit launching. So we got all of the posters out of the blockhouse, and we got some of the launch consoles.
Wow. Oh, wow, this room is awesome.
These were used 42 years. One of the guys that originally put these things in, he's sitting with his back to us right up there in the back. This is as big as the room was. Up the front was the test conductor consoles. In the back were, you know, booster control, destruct system, power panels, so you can see each one of these is labeled. And the kids will come and put on those headsets and come throw these switches, and you can hear them talking to the test conductor and talking to astronauts. They have the biggest fun. Grown-ups will actually come and move the kid aside if he's there too long so he can throw the switches.
That'd be us.
So that's what this room is, and that's one right back behind you there. If we go into the next room. Let's go back in here.
We got film in here.
This is a Titan model. We got some Russian stuff over here. One of the big things that we have is this glove. This is a Sokol space glove. It's Russian. And with a cosmonaut that actually was a part of our place is here. The guy that loaned us that is south of here. He's got a museum south of here. But this is one of the Russian cosmonauts, and he's greetings to his friend Rick Newman. And Rick's the guy that loaned us that glove. So that has been in space, worn by the Russians. Firefighting stuff over here, our museum administrator was a firefighter for many years. And he saves a lot of stuff. So he's brought some of this in. He actually built that rescue vehicle. And that's what is used down at the pad. And if they get out and have a problem, they all go rushing into that thing once they come down the slide wire. Get in there and drive to safety. So that's what we have. We have that picture was seen by our safety guy, and he just had a fit because this is against all the safety rules. Here's one of them going up. These guys had the back open. That never happened again after that. Somebody was dumb enough to let them take that picture. Same here.
Wow, you have quite the collection of stuff here. It's amazing.
And we've got even more. We were in 10,000 square feet up until 3 or 4 years ago, and the rent went up so high we couldn't afford it. So we've got stuff stored in several different places. But I'm going to have to leave you.
Thank you so much.
You guys, I'm glad you came by.
Thank you. That's
incredible.
Just amazing. Thank you for sharing
thank
that
you
with
very
us.
Much.
And
thank you very much.
Let me give you a card.
Yeah,
please do.
So that if you guys want to stay in touch with us.
That would be great.
Do you have any gimbals or other IMU parts?